Absolito.
On this episode, Dr. Obsolete or fights for the nerd's right to exist, truth, justice and obsolescence. We will not be silent, marginalized, ridiculed or made to be invisible anymore. So put your pocket protector on and wear your nerd retro computing shirt. Nerds, I salute you. As the shadows deepen and the city plunges into an abyss of uncertainty, we return to the enigmatic realm of Radio City, where Arcade Crusader, Dr. Obsoleto, stands poised at the precipice of justice. In the aftermath of our hero's latest endeavor, the echoes of his nocturnal exploits resonate through the towering spires and dimly lit computer rooms. In this unfolding episode, the cityscape breathes with an ominous pulse, hinting at a clandestine underworld plotting nefarious schemes. In this installment, Dr. Obsolete ardently champions the intellectual sovereignty of the cognoscenti, advocating for verity, equity, and the inevitability of obsolescence. Our voices shall not be quelled, relegated to the periphery, subjected to derision, or rendered imperceptible. The era of our hushed voices, relegation, mockery, or imperceptibility is conclusively terminated. Thus, don your pocket protector with resolve and drape yourself in the vestiges of nerd retro computing apparel. Equip your pocket protector, don your vintage computing attire, for today, nerds, we extend a salute to your indomitable spirit. 01101001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001001100001001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100001100 https://anchor.fm/man-behind-the-machine/episode/drive-hyphen-hyphen-obsoleto-hyphen-hyphen-commodore-1900-data-geek-hyphen-nerd-weebie-spaz-e2e. In the frozen corridors of the digital realm, Dr. Obsoleto, our indomitable intellect, finds himself ensnared within the ice clutches of Dr. Free's malevolent design. The server room, once pulsating with the hum of computational life, now echoes with an eerie stillness, as frosty tendrils uncase every circuit in a frigid embrace. As we left our hero, the binary pathways that usually bow to our drive Obsoleto's genius have become treacherous alleys of icy entrapment. The villainous drive Freeze, a digital sorcerer harnessing the power of sub-zero algorithms, has orchestrated a chilling coup, confining our valiant intellect within this frostbitten purgatory. Within the labyrinth of frozen code and crystalline shadows, Dr. Obsoleto's mind races, navigating the digital blizzard with the precision of a virtuoso. Will he unravel the frozen enigma before the frostbite of obsolescence seeps through his circuits? The server room's symphony of silence, punctuated by the ominous whir of freezing algorithms, sets the stage for a digital duel between intellects. In the heart of this icy crucible, where each bite is a frosty adversary, our hero faces an unprecedented challenge. Gotham's digital tapestry is at stake, and as the ice crystals sparkle ominously, the saga of drive Obsoleto's relentless pursuit of truth and technological justice unfolds in the sub-zero realms of cyberspace.
Connected.
That's an hour from now. Hello.
Exactly.
Who's this?
What I'm saying. Assume it's man back, yeah.
Man. fighting for computer rights. The right to use old technology?
And the right to downgrade.
That's really funny. I mean, that's funny, but also serious. I know, there's...
I know it's important to me, but it's just...
Well, but I mean, that's the thing. It really is a relevant conversation. The right to downgrade. Because, you know, there is a lot of necessary... There are a lot of reasons that you need to upgrade, because as our systems in society that are so interconnected need constant upgrades because of all the security vulnerabilities and stuff like that. But the thing is that he's not trying to use his Commodore 64 for banking,
right?
You know, at least I hope not.
yes, I will say that about you being in 1984, man. Make sure you don't do all your secure shit on your Commodore 64. I will.
Well, it's
highly recommend not doing that.
It's so obscure by now, maybe nobody would know how to break it, you know? I mean, technically speaking, they have all these complicated systems, but the user interface is simple enough that you could use it over an acoustic coupler. There's no reason you couldn't use it over an acoustic coupler teletype to do your banking for simple things. Well, actually, the reasons are that because it doesn't have a very wide adoption, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to provide that as an option. Let's say half the world was like, you know what? I want teletype banking. And like some bank was like, okay, teletype banking. And half the world signed up for that bank because they wanted teletype banking, something simple. Teletype can be very secure if all of the complex systems on the back end were simply sanitized into a simple teletype system. That part of the system could be accommodated. But I don't see the rest of the world saying, we want things to be simpler. We want teletype interfaces. But if you think about it a different way, people have said things like, I don't want to have to download an app for a system that I use. I want to just use text messages. And how is that significantly different from teletype? There are plenty of systems now that you can use text rather than installing an app because you don't want an app on your phone. And really, text messaging is a lower security footprint than apps, so it makes sense. And so even though you might not be able to use your Commodore... Well, okay, so think about it this way, though. You could use your Commodore 64 connected to a virtual modem that connects to a text messaging system, and you could use that to use text messaging systems that are modernized. That will work, as long as they don't require anything more than simple SMS, simple text. So for instance, you could use your system, you have a cellular downlink that goes to your system that connects as a virtual modem to your Commodore 64, and you can use the teletype protocol to send text messages and receive text messages as if it were a teletype machine, and communicate with text messaging systems that, for instance, will send you codes. Like, for instance, you log into your bank, and your bank is like, we don't recognize this device. Do you want to receive a code to your phone? And you say yes, and you get a text message that says, here's your code, type it in, you can get in. If you want to do that, you could go through all the work of connecting that up to your Commodore 64 so you get that message on your Commodore 64. The limitation is you're going to have to go right back to your banking app on your modern computer or phone and type in that code. So it's not a complete solution, but it's a partial solution. I don't know how much effort you want to put into that, but it's possible. Well, yeah. Right. And I don't think that's what Nico's looking for anyway. So for instance, let's say like Jacob, for instance, you know, Jacob seems to like come up with the most complicated solution to a simple problem. But for Nico, he's like, no, I don't want any of that. I just want to forget that time has passed. And I can certainly appreciate that.
Oh. So I do need to know what... I do need to... What is teletype? That is not a term I'm familiar with. I'm too young.
Okay, well, you know what modems are, right?
Yep.
So teletype was a system that was essentially a typewriter that was connected to a modem. It was a different protocol, basically, but you could type stuff into the typewriter and it would type on a sheet of paper, just like a typewriter locally. But then on the back end, it would use a special, protocol called TTY to send that information over the wire, sort of like a modem, to another typewriter. And that typewriter would then type what you were typing on that end. Now, when somebody typed on their end, it would type on their local typewriter, and it would send that back over the wire. And those characters would appear on your typewriter on your end. And in fact, it was used for a very long time for the hearing impaired, even long after it had its use technology-wise. And I'm not really sure. I don't know if there are a lot of deaf people left in the world that use TTY, but there are probably some, at least.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. it's like a combination of a fax machine and a... can't think of... I can't think of the name of it. Where you tap your finger, or not tap your finger, but usually use the finger to
Morse code.
Well, Morse code, more specifically, but yeah, you use that type of machine. So it's kind of a combination of fax machine and the machine you would do Morse code. Wasn't it with the...
Well, so Morse code is a relatively human protocol that can manifest in several ways. So, for instance, ships on the ocean would use flashlight, and some ships would send Morse codes by having a giant spotlight, and they would have like a lever that would open a flapper in front of the light, and so they could use that to signal the Morse code.
Right. Morse code is the language system.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of like the machine you would use to send Morse code. I can't think of the fucking name. Oh.
Back in the early days of sending telegraphs, it was very simple. It was that somebody would have a key on their end. And so they would actually tap the key, and it would either connect or disconnect the circuit, and that would be sent across the wire. And on the other end, there would be
telegraph.
A paper tape that would go through.
Telegraph. Telegraph is the thing I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
That is the machine I was trying to think of.
Right. So Morse code was the protocol that was sent over a telegraph, and a telegraph is really nothing more than a wire with two keys on each end. So you could send by tapping the key, and you would receive by either hearing a beep like,
or was it written out in dots,
or it
dots
would be written out on like a paper tape.
Yep.
And basically, that sort of evolved into teletype. Now, I don't know enough about the teletype protocol, but I don't think it's quite like Morse code. In fact, TTY, I believe, will send byte characters, if I'm not mistaken, because you can use the TTY protocol over a modem. But TTY has the TTY standard has a bandwidth of only 150 bytes per second, or is it bits per second? 150 bits per second.
Probably bits, yeah.
And so modems.
Crazy.
modern modems would do 300 bits per second, which was double that. And then they doubled it again, or they actually quadrupled again. I don't know if there's a standard that's 600, but if you think about it, they usually find ways to like double it or quadruple it, right? So the original TTY teletype protocol was 150 bits per second, and it was doubled to 300 for early modems, and then it was quadrupled to 1200, and then 2400, 4800, 9600. It was like double. There was another standard that was 14,400, which isn't exactly double 9600, because 9600 is 19.2. So in between that, because they were starting to reach the limits of what they could transmit over phone lines, they could do 14.4 and 16.8. And so, and then they did 19.2. And then, you know, you probably remember when we got all the way up to 56K. And the way they started doing that was at first, they were very simple signaling protocols with a sort of a clock spacing of beeps. And then what they started doing is putting those beeps closer together. And when they couldn't make them any closer together, they started using multiple frequencies. So boop would be different than boop. And then they started adding more frequencies, and then they started adding, like, compressing the bits closer and closer together, and then they started compressing. So when you get all the way up to 56K modems, they don't consistently get exactly 56K, because they're actually compressing the information before transmission and decompressing it after they receive it. However, the early systems, I think all the way up to 96K didn't use, or, you know, 9600 bits per second, used multiple frequencies and shorter spacing, but they didn't use compression. After 9600, they started using compression to get those numbers. Because at that point, compression used to be very expensive computational-wise, and then computers got fast enough that you could compress on the fly as you were transmitting and decoding and be able to support those higher transmission modes.
Nice. That's kind of an insane, like, history off the top of your head of how modems expanded and TTY expanded. Yeah, I agree.
Well,
with that.
That's because I lived through it,
right?
There's a really interesting book called Code. And for anybody that wants to be, like, a computer hacker, a hardware hacker, hacker in the old sense of really understanding how the hardware works and being able to bend those limitations, it's a very interesting book that it starts out just the way that I described it, where it says, hey, let's forget technology for a second. Let's say you want to send your friend a message. And it starts talking about using the Morse code, or actually even before that, it starts talking about, let's say you want to send your friend a message. And it basically talks about using a very simple circuit where you can have a light on your end and a button on your end. And when you press your button, the light on your friend's end will light up. And when he presses his button, the light will light up on your end. And it even talks about very simple hardware things like using the actual earth as an earth. So in North America, we typically call that a ground, but in Europe, they typically use the term earth. And ground and earth mean the same thing. In those simple circuits, you could have a simple, and that's even the early teletype systems. To complete a circuit, you need to have a complete path for the electricity to go out and back, but you only needed one wire, because you could actually stick a stake into the earth and that would complete the circuit, because the difference in potential between that single wire that's going that long distance and the earth will actually complete the circuit. Even though you can't imagine this long distance, you and your friend that can be a block away, a mile away, or a continent away, can actually use the Earth. But because of the difference in potential, that actually does work. There's even a story about the woman with the psychic dog. And this has a lot to do with differences in American and European standards for transmission. So Americans that are accustomed to modern telephone lines are used to each circuit being a pair. You would have a pair of wires for each phone that would go back to the telephone company circuit, back to the switching station. One would be the positive end, and one would be the negative end of what's basically a DC circuit. But in Europe, they used a different standard. They used a single wire, and based on the principle I just described to you, they would actually have the other end just grounded out to a stake in their yard. Now, I've already sort of given away the chase, and I apologize for that, because what happened is this woman, I believe she was in England, called the phone company and said that she doesn't know how to explain this, but she basically has a psychic dog, because the dog would start barking just before the phone would ring every time. And she was missing calls from her friends all the time. But yet when she would get calls, the dog would always start barking before the phone would ring. And the telephone technician, I think, probably thought that she was crazy, but thought that he would pay her a visit. When he really did the investigation, it turns out that, again, their phone line was a single wire, and the other end of the circuit was completed by a stake in their yard. She tied her dog out to that stake. And what was happening was the stake wasn't quite making a good connection to ground, which can often happen if there's not enough moisture in the ground. But what was happening is that the dog was peeing in the area enough to actually wet the ground to complete the circuit. Then when the phone would ring, it would go through the dog. No, I'm sorry. It was there's a step before that. When the dog was tied out to the stake, the phone signal would go through the dog, shock it, and then it would freak out and pee. And then it would pee and wet the ground, and the stake would complete a circuit, and the phone would ring. And then she could answer the phone. Now, is that crazy or what? So the really interesting part about that book code that I was just describing is that it would kind of take, it didn't have the example of the psychic dog in it, but it would talk about this idea of completing a circuit by going to Earth so that you and your friend could send a code. It was basically a very simple teletype machine. In fact, I think even before that, they used the example that I was talking about earlier of just holding a flashlight up to your friend's window and waving your hand in front of it, or blinking the flashlight on and off to send that signal. Now you use a wire to send that signal. And now you make it more and more complicated. You start adding circuits to it and transistors, and you start making it into what might be an ENIAC-level machine that we had back in the 50s. And then they came up with semiconductors, which was the same principle, but it was able to shrink it from vacuum tubes into transistors. And they made it smaller and smaller until it became a microchip. And this book, being written in the 90s, will take you all the way up to the 90s days, the DOS days, and make you understand from the very simplest idea of you and your friend with two flashlights, all the way up to understanding how microprocessors worked in the 90s, using very plain language that just about anybody interested in reading could understand. And it's still published, it's still relevant today. Anybody that wants to read that book, I highly recommend you buy it. It's cheap now, it's 10 bucks. You could probably get it for a nickel on eBay. Who knows? And in modern days, so much is abstracted away from you, and there's certainly a lot more technology to learn and understand to get where we are today, but you can't get there until you at least start with the very simple examples in the beginning of the book. It is the most fascinating book I've ever read on technology. If you want to know from basically caveman logic or 19th century Morse code signaling, how we got from there to here.
I feel like that should be like required reading for anyone who wants to get into like coding in general or like IT at all. Like
how you described it.
It sounds like anyone wants to do anything in tech, like computer engineering, IT, programming, any kinds of those types of fields, that should be required, or something along those lines should be required reading, because that was not, I did not get that kind of background when I was going to college to potentially do that, any of those types of things.
What was the degree that you were going for?
So there were multiple ideas along the way. Started out with aerospace engineering, and then electrical engineering, and then computer engineering, and then ITI, which was ended up being the most interesting to me. But I didn't get through the programming course. ITI is IT infrastructure is technically what it was, but it was basically IT management.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought it was.
Yeah. But when I was transitioning to those more like computer like focused fields, I feel like that would be like fucking awesome reading to do. To just get the background of how programming like became a thing, and then it would progress me into, and this is how we do it these days, and it just went straight into like how we do it now. I had to disconnect there, but it feels like.
One moment, please. Crystal Laboratory is restricted. Please state your name for identification.
Obsoleto.
Thank you. Orko identified as pest. Entry not allowed. Sorry.
Listen, you pigman. I'm on a mission for the king, so get out of the way.
Entry.
From the crater, the meteor is extremely radioactive. Looks to me like we have proof at last of a life-giving meteor. Now we'll be able to save more lives faster than ever before.
Bad. She was a good driver.
But not a good diver.
Hello, Professor Stevens. Feeling better?
Where am I?
In my home, Professor Stevens. Some of my friends found you unconscious in a ravine. Matt Tracker.
Better than good. You're supposed to...
Dusty, Hayes, Otto and Marine, stunt driver, vehicle codename, Gator. Buddy Hawks, master of disguise, intelligence expert, firecracker, co-pilot.
Mask is gonna need us if they're going up against Venom.
Yeah, baby. Absolito.
Matt, this is Bruce. Regarding the spacecraft, your fish flies. Look not for a fish, but a bird inside.
There he goes again, man. Not making any sense.
Makes plenty of sense, buddy. Venom obviously used their helicopter inside a phony UFO shell. Way to go, Bruce.
Let's move it. We have some deliveries to make.
I'm afraid you'll have to leave this area.
Hey, let me go, you rust buckets. I'm warning you. Nero, let go.
What's that racket?
Okay, metal foot, you asked for it.
I wish you'd understand. This is just my job. Malfunction, malfunction, elf.
Absolito. Dr. Absolito. Absolito. Channel 62. Absolito. Man behind the machine. Channel 62. Unsolved Mysteries by Charlie's Angels. Wow. Absolito. Is he the boss?
Yeah, he's the boss. Whenever I keep on hitting him, he keeps on getting bigger.
Really?
Wait.
That's a big boss.
Guy, I'm killing.
Yeah, can you open it for me? And then give this stuff to me?
What happened?
I ate one of the ghosties.
Wow. Ghosts?
Yeah, I ate one of the ghosties.
Is that the... Who is that?
I know it's odd. But how do you get the stuff out?
So I'm one of the... What button do I press?
Get him. Is that the boss?
Yeah. Look how strong he is.
Strong boss.
Oh my God. Boss.
I defeated one boss already.
Yeah, he the boss.
I defeated two bosses.
He the boss. Okay?
My tail.
That would be my battle cry when I'm going against the boss. Look.
You almost defeated the boss. I have almost defeated the boss.
Almost. You're almost there. He's almost done. Look at his energy. See, boss? Look.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get him?
Yeah.
Whoa, good job.
Obsoleto.
Oh, now his head's floating?
His what head. Is that? What the heck? Rest the leg loaded. Move the thingy. Now you're dead. How do you do this?
Doctor Obsoleto.
Obsoleto. That is the boss.
Boss stage.
Game over.
Are you gonna beat?
Yeah, but I beat one boss.
You did? Good job, King of Ma.
Are you gonna? Oh, but this time you're green.
Yeah, I started.
What? What's that?
But the 80s were crazy.
Why were the 80s?
I'm pressing start.
Why were the 80s crazy?
I'm pressing start and it's not.
Do you know why the 80s were crazy?
Why?
Huh?
Why?
You know?
Because they were crazy!
Well, I lived in the 80s, so it wasn't that crazy. Oh, you had... Are you still looking for the boss?
Yo, have you got the boss?
Okay, no one wants to be the
boss. Oh, there he is, boss.
I'm the boss.
Wait, I'm the boss?
I'm a green ninja.
Woo! Obsoleto. Arnold, we're recording this right now. We're in absentia. We haven't published in over a couple weeks. I know, people are loving it. Thank you for the messages of support. Appreciate it. You know, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even bother doing this because it's so much work. But I love it, and I love the people that are listening and subscribing and helping to create it, you know, contributing to each episode, so thank you. Stick around, we're probably going to put something out, we'll see. Dr. Obsoleto.
Same as it ever.
The Dungeon Master, see what's going on.
Same as it ever.
We have suffered since you blasted our
cancellations, delays,
Prince.
The reporter at the
good morning.
Obsoleto. Yep, I'm Obsoleto.
Yeah.
What's going on with the game? Is it still going on?
Obsoleto.
You didn't respond to the thread. The D&D game, the last 2 weeks has been a wash, so what's going on with this?
The last week was not really a wash. I just couldn't start until later, and then nobody wanted to go after I got back. Because I had a thing at school, and the week before that, we played.
Well, the week before, I was locked out of that game, so for me, it was a wash for 2 weeks.
Remember!
Well,
so I just need to know.
My bathroom today. I'm like, you know what? Basics about how modern technology works, and I promise to do that for you. But you have to make time for me to teach you how to do that.
New technology, it's not obsolete enough. Maybe I should just bow out. I mean, it's obviously, you know, a problem. I mean,
I think that it would be beneficial for you to learn how to use modern technology because the reason I'm saying that is because honestly,
Obsoleto.
Not
See?
Knowing how to use modern technology is going to be a handicap as we get older. And I'm not kidding you. I'm absolutely 100% serious. Like, I work with people all day long
Obsoleto.
That don't know how to use computers, and it costs them tons of money extra because they either refuse to use a modern computer or don't know how. And by the time we're retired and elderly, if you can't use a modern browser and navigate a web page properly, it's going to be considered a handicap.
Claw, I love you, bro. You just made me laugh. I mean, you gave me.
No, I'm kidding you. I see it as I'm saving my friend from having a handicap.
Obsoleto.
That would be self-inflicted. Yeah. You think I'm kidding you? I'm not kidding.
No, I know you're not. You know, you don't understand that I'm stuck in 1982. Do you understand this?
I don't care that you're stuck in 1982. I'm going to drag you kicking and screaming into 2020.
Okay. I'm just telling you.
So you're going to do it.
Just for me to use the.
You're going to learn how to use the computer. And you're going to. There is no. There is no kidding around.
No.
You're going to learn how to use a computer.
No.
Because if you don't.
No, I don't want to.
Will be really bad for you when you're elderly.
No.
Because it's not like it's going to get easier as time goes on. It's only going to get more difficult as time goes on.
Yeah, here we go. Obsoleto. Okay. Yeah. The claw. Yeah.
That's how what is. That's how the world is.
That's
man.
How.
It's not like there's any kind of surprise there.
Right.
That is how the world is. There is You think I'm kidding you about the handicap thing, but that's like really what it's going to be like. Like at some point in time in your life, like everything will be on the computer. Like everything.
Right.
You won't be able to get food without knowing how to use a fucking computer. And then what are you going to do? Just not eat?
Obsoleto.
You know? No. You need to learn how to use a computer. And we're going to teach you how to use a computer. And you're going to...
The one
thing that would be meaningful to me is if you actually showed interest in it.
Really?
Yes. That's what I want. I want you to want to learn how to use the computer. That's what I want. It'll make my life a lot easier.
I don't know, man. I gotta turn on my Commodore. Yes.
Well, you can go turn on your Commodore all you want, but I'm telling you.
Nerd, geeks, bass.
Well, by the way.
Dweeby.
Prices on the Pi 400 have come down. You know, they came out the Pi 5.
Because of the 5.
Hey.
That's the way it usually happens.
But guess what? I used the Pi, and I upgraded a little bit. But I'm still obsoleto, huh?
Dr. Obsoleto.
The Pi 5 would probably function to use all this, but...
Nerd geek.
Use a modern web page.
Spazoid.
It doesn't matter what computer you have. You can have a $20,000, you know, nuclear-proof fucking football computer and still not be able to use it because you don't know how to use it. So... You need to learn how to, like, be able to, like, you should be able to never have that somebody have to help you reset your password. That's one thing. You should never be like, I can't see something on the screen. Unless there's really a problem that you need actual technical support with, not just not navigating a website.
Ouch.
Because it's not an insult.
Ouch.
I don't want you to think this is an insult. This is like a warning that you're getting older. Shit is not going to get easier. And if you don't take an interest in this, it is a handicap. You will end up in a situation where you're going to be relying on everybody else around you.
Hmm.
It's going to happen. You're already basically there. So it's like my last ditch effort.
Okay.
To like try to help you. Not have that for yourself.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I mean,
I guess I guess I had this coming.
I mean, I don't know why you're taking it personally. It's not, it's meant to like try to like help you. You don't know which person's the one to go
for.
I mean, who does all your computing now? Doing every fleet.
What's up?
It's only a matter of time before places say, well, it's you already.
Yeah.
And then if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, it's going to cost you this much money. So we're not. It's not like the computer world is going to stop.
It's not. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. It easily could be, you know?
That it might come up as a touchy subject.
Obsoleto.
Bye.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that I'm bowing out of the game at this time.
Why?
I'm bowing out. Okay, let's call our Dr. Claw back. I know he's busy, okay? It's okay. I know you're busy. I don't have to talk long. I just wanted to call. I didn't know if you were going to pick up. Hello.
Well, I know this is the only time of the day you have to call, so that's why I picked up.
Thank you. Hey, you know, I don't want anything to get between our friendship, but, you know, obviously I was upset, and I appreciate you reaching out to me, you know, because I thought you didn't care, you know? So,
man, if I didn't care...
No, you know, that you didn't care for me to be in your game, you know?
I mean, I do want you to be in the game. Yeah, and everybody else, like, but everybody else, the way everybody else put it to me, like, when they approached me was, like, that we love the humor, everybody thinks you're a great guy, everybody wants you to be part of it, but they want you to know how to do it. They want you to, everybody, including me, is very big on player agency. Like, I as a dog, the, like, crappiest job. Right? Yeah. Like, I just provide the world and get to watch everybody else have a good time. I mean, I still have a good time with it, like, being able to watch, but...
But you got to tell them, but they have to understand something, and maybe this is a conversation to have, but they don't understand that Dr. Obsoleto comes from a different time, okay? They're asking me to go into the future. I'm already in the past. You understand?
Well, I understand that, but you also can't ask everybody else to... go back in time.
I didn't. I bring my own dice.
All right, that's fine. But yeah. You should still but at least see the screen, right? Be able to at least see where everything is at and what's that, because I can't choose who you're going to attack. I can't, you know, make the decisions for you because I have inside knowledge, and then I'm either knowingly making a good decision or a bad decision.
Well, you know what? If it doesn't appear on my screen, if you tell me to look at the map... and my icon doesn't appear, that is not my error. That is a machine error.
Well, then we either need to look at your computer and figure out why that's not happening for you, or we need to figure out to help you learn how to navigate. I know that it isn't, that the website itself is not perfect. It is perpetually in beta because they're always adding and working and making new features and things like that, so it isn't... So it might be some things that are just learning how to navigate, right? And how to get around things and move and whatnot. And I get that. That's fine. I've already said that I'd take the time to help you with it.
You know, you're like asking Marty McFly. Remember Marty McFly? He goes back to 1955.
Comes usually in the evening.
Oh, okay. Sorry, go ahead.
You get like a description of a situation and, you know, who's there and that sort of thing. But like, as far as where things are located from you, that's all on the screen. Oh, okay. You do have to, at the very least, see that part of it, right? Like this screen. If you need somebody to help measure for you, we can measure and do all that stuff and do that part for you, because that doesn't really take any time. Or any effort on our part. But being able to actually get to the right area and see where everything's at and assess the situation so that you can make the decision on what you're going to do and how you're going to do it and that sort of thing, I can't do that for you. And I mean, I don't disagree on that. Like, I can't take away your player agency. You have to be present for that. You have to make that decision.
See, back in the day... Once upon a time, Dungeons and Dragons was use your imagination. Once upon a time, we players would sit and the Dungeon Master would describe stuff and we'd have to fill everything in our minds. Okay? So, I think you guys got to lighten up a little. You got to lighten up a little bit and let me use my own agency, which is in my imagination. Okay?
Right, and that's fine if you want to play in your imagination. I understand that, but even on tabletop, it didn't take long for them to realize that there needs to be, you know, distances and things like that. Like, if we're going to have limitations on how far an arrow shoots, we need to be able to know how far away something is from it, right?
Right.
So, it didn't take long for D&D to have, like, a map laid out on the table and have, miniatures is what they call them.
Right.
And people literally got really into it. They paint their miniatures.
Yep.
And I have some. Really into it, right. So the only difference here is instead of having to spend, you know, like $50 on a miniature and another $100 painting the thing, you get an icon on the same map that you can move around.
Okay.
And all the other icons on there, because there's no way that I could afford to pay for all those things in person. This affords us the same luxury that we'd have in person, So what? Digitally.
Exactly.
So it's not indifferent.
I know that.
Is in person, but allows for us to have it at a cheaper cost. And I know that.
Can I say this?
There's a little something that's lost by not doing it in person.
But that's what they don't understand. When they come to you and say, "Oh, man's got to do this, he's got to do that," they have to understand what the point is.
I told everybody in the beginning that I'm about his agency, that everybody gets the freedom to do and say and feel how they want. And I wouldn't remove that from any.
Right.
Do that, and I have to honor what I said I would do for everybody. So when it all came about when you were like, choose for me.
Yeah, because I couldn't find my icon.
It's not like I tell you no. You don't do that. You have to choose one. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's not like people weren't on it with you.
The holier than thou.
It's funny, like the first time or two, but then it's kind of like, it's like when you say the same joke over and over again. You're going to be it's old.
Well, like Popeye said, I am what I am. If you don't like me. It's very clear that I can't show up tonight, okay? It's very clear.
I'm not trying to tell you how to play.
It's very clear that I can't show up to this game because there are clearly people that are anti-man. So
nobody is anti-man. See, I think nobody wants to tell you these things because you take it personally.
There's a reason.
Everybody there and me were like, we character think the humor and great, they love all the little things that you post, chat, all of it, spot on, perfect, and great, but they want you to have the willingness and the want to actually learn how to do it, because it's not different, it's not that much different than being able to, like, looking at a map on a field in front of you and everybody has their little characters out on that map, right? And that part of it's really not any different. Using the system is what's different, right? Like having to do it on a web page.
Right.
You know, and I put many tools in as I can to try to make that experience better in some way. To like being able to pop out your, like if you have multiple screens, being able to pop out your sheets and stuff so it doesn't cut up your screen so it is easier to see. And that might be something that you can't do only because you only have the one screen. But I think that depending on where you choose to play from, you could plug in a second monitor into your system. You absolutely could. And then get on it, right?
Yeah, VGA to HDMI, I think, adapter. Something like that.
Right. So you can definitely get more screens going on if you want. And you know, that I think a lot of people pop out their character sheets and put it on a different screen so it's not on the map view. You don't have to move it around so much. But I really do think that if I spent some time helping you learn how to navigate it, that you'd be able to do it. Something you don't know.
I'm upset that there are anti-man people, you know.
There are no anti-man people. Well, in fact, they very specifically said they love the humor, they love all that part of it. You are just taking it personally because people are wanting something from you.
Right.
They want
upgrades. Yeah.
Did you say
they
upgrades?
They want me to upgrade. That's the problem. Yeah, all these expectations on me to upgrade, you know? And,
yes, everybody does expect you to upgrade. Yes, but they want the person upgraded. There. Part present.
Man 2.0? They want Man 2.0?
No, it's 2.0. It'd be more like a 1.1. If we can just get to 1.1, I think we'll be good.
You know what I really need? I really need a streaming again. A live streaming for man. I just want to
help you. I told you that in my message that I want to help you with. One of the reasons I gave you that server, you need to choose, you need to call me up when you know you're going to have future free time. Oh. Something on the calendar.
Okay.
Before it will happen. Oh my gosh, I actually have to do with being able to actually see the map on the table.
Right.
That's everything. And it's the only part that you're missing. Because I can't choose for you. And they're absolutely right. I should not be taking away anybody's freedom of choice at all. I promised I wouldn't. I need to stick to my word.
Right.
That's not somebody saying anything bad about you. That's them calling me out for saying that, for doing something I said I wouldn't.
Okay.
I mean, if you, I understand that it might be touchy for you, and that's fine. If it is, I understand. And I can tell everybody that you're upset with them. That's fine. I can do that for you. And let them know. I mean, if that's really how you feel, you feel...
No, I don't want to say upset at anybody. I just leave it alone. Donation's better. No, that's how it is. It's, you can't even deny it anymore. You know? I mean, it's just... Absolito. Hey, bro, I know you're working. I just want to send you a message. I'm going to send you some text that I'd like you to read to the D&D party tonight. So I'll follow up this voicemail with a text message that you can read to the players as my proxy.
Dispatch War Rocket Ajax to bring back his body.
Flash.
Gordon's alive.
Flash. He'll save every one of us.
Just a man.
Just a man. Absolito. Thank you for listening to Man Behind the Machine, Dr. Absolito. We're back, 2024. What are they gonna do? Huh? Absolito! Tell the world!
I'm Salida. About
so you put in the system, kind of don't leave it.
Really?
I mean, that explains what's happening.
Well, I thought I would give you a written statement.
I mean, I can. If you want me to read something to the group, I totally can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will do. I mean, you can always just put it in the D&D text. I haven't removed you from the group or anything. Just tell them. Tell them in there, and then and that way, if people have questions or follow up, I don't have to play middle person.
You would prefer that?
Well, I guess it. I mean, it depends. I mean, what is it like? Are you sending some kind of an assertion over, or what? I don't know what it is that you're doing.
Well, I was gonna send you a description of what happened to my character and how it weaves into the plot line.
Okay, never mind. No, I didn't understand what you want when you were saying.
How it weaves into the plot line.
You have your character exit out.
Yes. Yes. And how it weaves into the plot line.
I thought you were like sending them an explanation of why you weren't playing anymore. No, that's fine. If you want your character to, well, tell me this: are you killing off your character or?
No, he goes back to the future. He goes back to 1982.
Into the future, into 1980.
Yeah, but it's to save the characters as well. I have to reverse something in time to save their lives.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I will read it to them.
Okay.
And go from there.
Sounds good, bro.
Read it until I read it to them, just so it's surprising for everybody. It'll, that way, it's more fun for me too.
Sounds good, bro. They return.
What, you know, I wouldn't mind trying to get an in-person one set up at some point in time, but it probably isn't going to be until I'm old enough to not have to work as much, you know, because I don't, right now, like, pretty much everybody I know is working their brains out. Like, Jim is in Iowa, Rick is in Florida, Sahala is in Arkansas.
Yeah, everybody's everywhere.
I think that's everybody out of state. So, and then in the other group I play with is in Canada, like all of them are in Canada. And then the new group that's starting up that'll be on Saturday is going to be is people from all over the country.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
None of them are able to do in-person. So the in-person one wouldn't be until, you know, we can, if you could plan something maybe monthly, where you do it once a month on a specific day or a specific, you know, time on like a Sunday, you could set something up.
Where would we play it?
Probably your house. Why not?
Basic version? Yeah.
I don't care. Why not? I never played the first one, I'll tell you that. I'm pretty sure the one that I played was like 2E or something. That's the only time I ever played D&D when I was a kid. Because after that, everything was riffs. I was a science fiction nerd. I loved space and all that stuff. And we played riffs.
Yeah.
That's what we did. It's fantastic.
Yeah, the basic version I play is closest to Gary Gygax, you know? His original, how he played it. You know?
Right.
So... yeah, man, it's good. It's just, man, times have changed, and, you know, when you don't change with them, yeah, that's what happens.
I understand.
You know, it's...
It is what it is. And I understand that it's not going to be enjoyable for you, even if you were to do it. You don't have to do it for me, so... online isn't fun for everybody. I get it.
Right.
I do understand it.
Yeah. So.
That's something you could also do, too. If you don't want to run a campaign, you could try to set up a reoccurring Magic Gathering, like a monthly get-together thing. We could even do that at the local shop.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good idea. Okay.
Because I know the one that's literally 2 blocks from my house.
Yeah.
Been there and sit down.
Okay.
Play Magic in there.
Is Magic all about fighting, or is it more nuanced?
What do you mean?
Is it all about battling? Magic.
I mean, there isn't anything more to it than that. It is just plain battling.
Yeah. Okay, bro. Well, we'll talk more about that later.
I guess they could do that. It'd be kind of interesting when it comes to movie making. Pick your own flick. They can call it that if you want, I guess. But I don't know, you know. You know, I just say stick to the regular stuff. You know. It's interesting when I started off and when I was doing the toaster first time through, it really allowed us to do some really cool 2D animations. So I was taking, I don't know how I did it now. I had like just videotaped, like, you know, me spinning records and stuff like that. And I would count it all out and it would just be like just the record you could see. And I'd switched up with color and stuff. I think that's when I ended up getting a job with the techno guys. When they saw my work, they're like, wow, we could use that as your visuals behind us. I says, okay, deal. But I actually started doing it way back when the video toaster came out. I gotta find some of my old school stuff too. It was really interesting. I gotta send it to you. It's on VHS. I did a remix to the song Backwards Dog by Soup Dragons. It was really cool. And they did some really cool visuals to that one too. And it was all done with 2D animation and I mixed in live video, not live video, recorded video, I should say. And, you know, turned out some pretty interesting little tracks.
Good day. This is your friend, Carl Sagan. I'm speaking to you via satellite from within the center of Jupiter, or more appropriately, Jupitron. Not to be confused with, yet quite similar to, the video game and also motion picture entertainment, Tron. It is very neon here, but that's beside the point. Now, whenever we are riding our, shall we call, surface vehicles around the surface of Jupiter, we are always listening to you, Man Behind the Machine podcast. Of course, we are about 40 years behind you. However, any day now, we should receive episode 5.